Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. I'm Danny Lipford with a little summer cold, and my buddy Joe Truini is going to help me make it through this week's show. We've got a lot to share with you, and you know what? You are at the right place for all the home improvement information, the most current home improvement information you'll find anywhere. We've got a lot of things to share with you, and of course, almost every week we have something to do with concrete. Well, this week's no different. We have some stains on concrete. What can you do? Well, I'll tell you, it's a porous surface. Sometimes it's hard to battle that. Also, we talk a lot about mildew, which creates a lot of odors. And Joe, that is something that's pretty well plaguing just about everywhere in the country.
Yeah, especially this time of year, because odors are often caused by excessive moisture and mold and mildew. So they're the hardest part sometimes, just tracking down where the odor's coming from, you know, because once it gets spread through the house, it's a little hard to pick it up. But yeah, there are a couple of things you could do.
Hey, also, this is another week we're going to be giving away the Walk Maker concrete form that's really, really popular. Not only that, enough concrete to do a 50-foot long sidewalk at your house. Very do-it-yourself friendly. Stay tuned and we'll tell you how you can get a chance to enter that contest. Joe, a little bit later, you're going to share a simple solution with us. Give us a little tease.
All right, Danny. This time of year, a lot of people are outside working on projects in the yard, which might require moving rocks or stone slabs or other heavy objects. And I got a really quick, simple solution how to do that using PVC pipe.
Oh, that sounds great. That sounds really good. Also, we're going to talk about screen porches this time of the year. Maybe you're sitting out on your back deck or your porch and bugs are bugging you a little bit. What can you do? Every house is a little unique, but we'll give you a number of options if you're considering adding that amenity to your house. So we got a lot to share with you, and we want you to be a part of it. Give us a call anytime. 800-946-4420 is the Today's Homeowner hotline, and you can send us an email anytime, todayshomeowner.com/ask. And we're going to get to as many of those calls and emails as we possibly can. Joe, I'm seeing a lot of rumblings about the lumber prices again. People ask me every single day, when are they going to come down? When are they going to get back to normal? When can I go ahead and do that deck project? I had probably three people ask me this week. I've got a deck. I really want to do it, but I'm just waiting. I'm waiting. When,
right.
You know, so, you know, I'm hearing that the prices are starting to go down, but it's getting a little convoluted now, because when they start throwing percentages around of, oh, yes, the prices will be down by 50%. Well, they went up 260%. So that doesn't feel like good news to me. But what are you hearing now?
Well, as seems like it always happens, the prices go up a lot faster than they come down, and they are coming down. Now, the caveat is they're coming down very slowly. I read an article recently in Fortune magazine where the price of lumber, this is per 1,000 board feet, was $1,515. That was the high. Now, to give some perspective to that, last April, April 20th, before the pandemic, the price was $358.
Oh.
So we went from $358 per 1,000 board feet to $1,515. You know, that's unbelievable. Now it's dropped down to about $1,446. So, yeah, it's dropped, but it hasn't dropped enough to really make a difference. But it is going to continue to drop. That's the good news.
Well, you know, something that I read that I thought was very interesting, that because of some of the restrictions being lifted on the pandemic and travel and so forth,
right,
all of a sudden the focus is getting off of home improvement just a bit, and people are getting back out, and the vacations, the weddings are back on, and a lot of travel that are taking place here and there, and, you know, going out to hotels, going to restaurants. That's where some of the money's going now, that
right,
just during this past year was going to improving the home. So that may give, if in fact the lumber suppliers are behind, this will give them an opportunity to catch up a little bit, a little competition in there. We get plenty of supply and less demand, and certainly that should accelerate the price dropping. But even looking at $1,400 per, per board foot there is better, but not great news.
Right. Well, the article ended with the consensus across the industry, across the lumber industry, is that the worst of the lumber crunch is behind us. So that is encouraging. Now, it's behind us, but when is it going to catch up to us? And it looks like it probably won't be till, you know, at least the end of the summer, and I suspect it's probably more like the end of the year, because it's just going to take that long, you know, for the prices to come back to where they were.
That kind of reminds me when I'm sitting in my house during a hurricane.
Right.
And, you know, it's 80 degrees. I mean, it's 80 miles an hour outside. Okay, it's going to get worse. It's 90. It's 100. It's 120. Okay, that's the worst of us is behind us now. It just still doesn't give you that warm, fuzzy feeling, you
right.
know, when a tree's laying on your roof and things like that. It's well, good that I feel better, kind of. No, I don't. But
yeah, it's not 120 miles an hour. It's only 110 miles an hour. We're heading in the right direction, but it's still 110 miles an hour. You know, I still can't afford to buy a 2x10. And when's that going to change?
Well, hopefully everything will continue. We'll keep tracking that for you and try to get the right sources. But go ahead and plan those projects. Go ahead and think about exactly how you want everything to be. Get those material lists down. Go ahead and get some of the lumber suppliers to price it. It might be something that you can really track yourself, and maybe that price of that deck for the lumber and everything, maybe $1,500, and then you give it a try in 30 days and see what it is. Then at some point, you'll feel comfortable in moving forward with a lot of these projects. And fortunately, a lot of projects don't require a lot of materials, more labor. Paint is one of those common ones that, you know, you go and buy some paint, even though it's pretty pricey as well. But one of the things that homeowners have always struggled with, and we've tried to help as much as we could in explaining ways that you can recycle, reuse, or dispose of paint properly. No, you don't go out on the storm drain and pour it down the storm drain. Is not proper disposal. But Joe, I understand we were talking and you're mentioning a movement or a
right.
website now that is starting to take hold and make a big difference in that regard.
Yeah, because they've discovered that is quite an issue, you know, because how often do you use every drop of paint? And then you don't have to buy another gallon and wind up using like half of it. Then what do you do? So more often than not, there's paint left over and people tend to save it and save it and save it. And then they realize, well, now what am I going to do with it? So there's an organization called paintcare.org, and it's a nonprofit. And it's operating in, I think, 10 states right now, but it's growing. Some on the West Coast, I think Minnesota and Colorado, I believe, and Connecticut, where I live, is part of this program. But in any case, the idea is that they will collect paint. So you bring your paint to them, and they will properly recycle it. Because they've found that most people just don't know what to do with paint. And like you said, they just dump it somewhere, and you absolutely cannot do that. Sure, that's an easy way out, but it's affecting the environment. So they have so far, even though they're only in 10 states, they've collected and recycled almost 50 million gallons of paint.
Wow.
So that's a serious amount. And that's only 10 states. So you can just imagine if we get at least 40 or 50 states involved in this. They have drop-off areas, and you can go to paintcare.org to get more information on this. And it'll be coming, hopefully, to a state near you soon. Right now, I think they said across the 10 states, they have 1,800 drop-off sites. So it's not like just one place. You have to drive hours to get to it. So they're trying to make it as easy as possible. But yeah, check it out. And I think it's a great way to get rid of paint because they do recycle it and recycle it correctly.
Because, you know, so many times when you have paint, especially some of our listeners in the really, you know, northern parts of the country, if it's not in an insulated, heated and cooled space that you're storing the paint, as soon as it freezes or gets down to a certain temperature, that separation occurs that I'm not really sure that doesn't break down the quality of the paint and make it where you're just not able to use it. So, you know, that's one of the hard things, kind of hard to keep that in your closet, you know, but it's also one of those things it's best to go ahead and move it on away from your house and put it in hands of someone like this organization that can find a place that it can be used, disposed properly, that kind of thing.
And I want to mention one other thing. They don't only collect paint. If you go to their website, I don't have the list in front of me right now, but they collect stains and sealers and all kinds of stuff. I think they even collect caulk, like old caulking. So it's not just, they don't take solvents. They don't take like paint thinner, but they take paints and stains. And there's a whole list of stuff that they do recycle. So check it out. Again, that's paintcare.org.
All right. Great, great information. And that's what we're all about here at Today's Homeowner, giving you the right information so that you can have the best looking house on the block. Coming up, we've got a lot of emails, a lot of phone calls, an opportunity for you to win one of the Walk Maker forms from our friends at Quikrete with enough concrete to do a 50-foot long sidewalk. And you should go to todayshomeowner.com and check out some of the Walk Maker Walkmaker Forms projects that we've done. Pretty amazing what you can do a little at a time as the time and budget allow for you to be able to do the things you need. Remember, you can call us anytime, 800-946-4420, or drop us an email right now, todayshomeowner.com/ask. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. I'm Danny Lifford, along with my buddy Joe Truini. We're just getting started, so you don't want to go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Doing it yourself doesn't have to mean all by yourself. With the Home Depot as your partner, doing's never been easier. You can pick up skills online in a virtual workshop. Pick up what you need fast from easy in-store pickup lockers. Even have it delivered same day. Oh, and if you don't have time to tackle a project, our home services can do it for you. This is doing like never before. This is the Home Depot, how doers get more done.
So you like improving your home? Me too. Join me, Chelsea, at checkinwithchelsea.com for even more home improvement tips, tricks, and inspiration. I love improving my home and sharing the ups and downs with you so we can all learn together. Every month, I post a new project or how-to video with lots of other DIY posts in between. If I can do it, I know you can too. So drop by checkinwithchelsea.com or follow me on Instagram at checkinginwithchelsea. Brought to you by Woodcraft.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done. And by Quikrete Cement and Concrete Products. It's what America's made of.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. You know, we're aired all over the country in 300-plus stations, including this real powerhouse station in Atlantic City, New Jersey, WPGGAM 1450 and 95.5 FM. Special hello to the Director of Sales, Jim McLean. And also, you can't talk about this station without talking about the legendary Harry Hurley. Anybody up in that area of the country know that name, Harry Hurley. He's been on the air for many, many years. He's quite the organizer when it comes to community service and has done some wonderful, wonderful things in and around the Atlantic City, New Jersey area. Harry, hope you're doing well and look forward to talking to you again. And thanks to WPGG for putting us on the air in that part of our great country. Struggling with a little bit of a summer cold here right now. So I know, Joe, you'll help me out if I just throw my hands up and run off the away from the microphone.
But I'm here for you, buddy.
I think I can make it. Let's get right to Melody, who's on the phone from Mississippi with a little problem with her concrete. Melody, welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show.
Thank you so much.
Tell us what's going on there and what happened to your front porch.
Well, my husband had a battery sitting on the concrete on the front porch. And when he picked it up, there's battery acid stains on the concrete. And it looks horrible. So I'm wondering, is there something that I can do to remove that stain?
Well, it is a challenge anytime you have a stain of any kind on concrete, because the majority of concrete is not sealed with a masonry sealer, a clear masonry sealer, which we would recommend on any porch, driveway, sidewalk, anything. It just makes the concrete look better, longer, and last longer. But when you have something like that, ironically, one of the first things you use to clean a concrete surface is another acid, muriatic acid. Now, muriatic acid is a strong, dangerous acid, so you need to be very, very careful when you're using it, and you need to dilute it. And that depends, I think it's a 3-to-1 dilution with 3 parts water to be able to dilute it down, and you can put it on there. As soon as you apply it, it'll start bubbling. You'll see the reaction to the other acid stain, and generally that will lift it out. You may have to do it a couple times. Have your water hose handy to, you know, flush it out really well after you finish it. And like many, many stains on different surfaces, not one thing takes care of it all. So you may have to try a combination of results. Joe, what other suggestion would you have for Melody?
Yeah, Melody, I was going to suggest the same thing, but ordinarily muriatic acid is a last resort because it is so caustic. As Danny said, be real. If you have to use muriatic acid, just be extremely careful with wearing all the safety gear. But what you could try, if you don't want to go right to that, you could try, there's a product called oxalic acid, which is O-X-A-L-I-C. You can get it at drugstores and supermarkets, hardware stores. And it's a powder. You dissolve it in warm water. I forget exactly what the ratio is, but it'll say it on the package. And you brush it onto the stain. You let it sit 15 or 20 minutes. Keep it wet. Keep the stain wet. And then you can scrub it with a nylon bristle brush. Never use a wire brush on concrete. Seems like it's a good idea, but what you would do is the wire brush would change the texture of the concrete. And even if it's clean, you'll see where you clean. So use a nylon bristle brush. Then rinse it well. After any treatment, even muriatic acid, rinse the area really well with water. And if the oxalic acid doesn't work, you could just try chlorine bleach straight, just regular old liquid chlorine bleach. Let it sit for a while and then scrub it and rinse it. So I would probably start with either the chlorine bleach, because you probably have it. And if that doesn't work, go to oxalic acid. And then last resort would probably be the muriatic acid.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Hey, our pleasure.
Let us know how it works out, by the way.
And, you know, if all else fails, you could stain the concrete with a stain over the whole thing. And it sometimes a stain will kind of come up through that stain that you apply, but overall it generally will look a lot better. But Melody, thanks so much for being a part of the show this week.
Thank you. Y'all have a good day.
Okay, you as well.
I forgot to tell her the last tip, Danny. Tip is she shouldn't be doing this at all.
I know it should.
Get her husband out there.
Exactly. Her husband should be making this phone call and getting out there. And of course, he's sitting over there sweating right now, saying, oh, I hope she comes up with something so I don't have to.
He might still be in the doghouse. He can't hear her on the phone.
Might be. Hey, we want to get right to an email here, and we would love to hear from you with any email that you may have. Todayshomeowner.com/ask. Joe, this one comes from George in New York. Says, I've been a caregiver for my wife for over 10 years, and our home has an aluminum wheelchair ramp. I'm trying to figure out how to build a small area for her to sit outside and talk to the neighbors. It's a great, friendly neighborhood. Any thoughts? You know, when you think about that, you know, sometimes you might think about a raised deck so that, you know, you can wheel out and roll there. But if she's comfortable coming down the aluminum ramp, a little platform there, or not platform, but a little level of pavers seemed like the perfect thing, especially, you know, wheelchairs are heavy and such.
Yeah, exactly. A little landing. I was thinking the same thing. First, it would be easier to build. The first thing I thought of is the two options would be put a little landing at the base of the ramp, and it could extend out along parallel with the ramp as well, you know, make it a little longer. Or if you want to put it up at the top, maybe depending on how this is situated, maybe you want an elevated position so you can see the neighborhood a little more clearly. I would build a small deck off the end of the ramp, and you could just, because I am assuming that the ramp goes up and there's a little flat spot where you go into the house, you can extend that flat spot, that little deck, either parallel with the house along the front of the house or come out from the house, whatever, depending on how much room he has there. And I think those would probably be the two easiest solutions, and would certainly give her, you know, a place to hang out and talk with the neighbors.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea you have there, George. And so either way, either extending that deck if you have that opportunity, and as Joe and I said, the easiest way would just to be able to create that paver patio right at the very bottom. And that could just be a 5-foot by 5-foot area, or you could go up to 5 by 10, or make it as big as you want, a little at a time. That's something that's a real common way that a lot of people put pavers down around their home. So glad we could help you on that. Let's see if we can help Robert in Michigan. The concrete floor in my basement is painted. I'd like to put down the peel-and-stick vinyl tiles. Do I need to strip off all of the paint before I do that? I want to make sure the tiles stick down. Thank you very much. Well, Joe, if he's got a painted surface there and he's not having any trouble with it, he probably needs just a little bit of cleaning, drying, and he's ready to go.
Yeah, exactly. We always say if the paint's in really good shape, you just don't like the color, or you're sick of the painted floor, you could, as long as the floor is, the paint is well adhered, you can go right over. Now, this is a basement floor, so I'm not sure if he has any moisture problems. But my question is, why is he putting down peel and stick vinyl? I would get vinyl sheet flooring. They make beautiful vinyl sheet flooring these days. It's still affordable. And they have type that is, it used to be all glue. We had to glue down the entire thing. Then they had the perimeter glued down where you only put glue around the perimeter. But now they have a floating floor that's vinyl. It's really thick. You just lay it down. You know, it's almost like an area rug. Then you put baseboard down on top or whatever around the perimeter. But I would suggest that because the peel and stick tiles, that's a lot of work. And then you have to rely on them staying stuck down.
Well, I think it's a little intimidating for some people when you have a large sheet and you're trying to manhandle it in there,
right,
and you're having to cut the baseboards pretty, you got to be pretty close there, even though you may have some shoe molding going around. I think that's where, you know, the manageable aspect of one little piece. Of course, the luxury vinyl tile that has the strong moisture resistors in,
right,
built into them would also be a good choice, because there again, you're just putting down a piece at a time. That can be pretty DIY friendly and, you know, resist any moisture that is going to always be in and around the basement.
Yeah, and I guess the only other tip I'd give, if you really want to put down the vinyl tile, because it is pretty easy because you're looking at, working with individual squares, buy the very best you can get. They're a little expensive. Buy the very best ones, because the cheap ones are not square and you get into trouble. Believe me, I've tried it. And you end up putting them together and suddenly there's a gap and there's no way to close it up.
Hey, speaking of moisture, we have a homeowner in California that's having a little bit of trouble with a house they bought in Mississippi. We're going to find out all the details and see if we can help this homeowner out with a challenge that they're having. And we want to help you out. 800-946-4420 is the Today's Homeowner Hotline. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we're available to help you with any little challenge that you may be having. And you can send us an email, todayshomeowner.com/ask. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Today's Homeowner. If there's a tip or piece of advice you may have missed, find it at todayshomeowner.com/radio. Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Pavestone, creating beautiful landscapes.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our Home Depot Best New Product of the Week, How Doers Get More Done. If you have a toilet that constantly runs, you know it's annoying and wasteful, or maybe it feels real slow and makes a lot of noise in the process. That could be so aggravating around your home. If so, the Corky 2X Long Life Toilet Fill Valve may be just your solution. It's the longest lasting, most universal toilet fill valve available. The rubber formulation resist any chlorine or hard water bacteria and rust, so it lasts 2 times longer than other fill valves and can boast a 10-year warranty. Plus, it's quieter than other fill valves. It's ideal for toilets built since 1994 with a 1.6-gallon flush, and it's fully adjustable to prevent wasting water in any toilet. The refilled adjuster delivers just the right amount of water to maintain original performance, and the valve is easy to install with no tools required. The innovative twist lock adjustment also makes it very easy to adjust it, and it works both for large and compact toilet tanks. Now, it's called the Corky with a K 2X Long Life Toilet Fill Valve, and you can find out more by going to todayshomeowner.com. You know, toilets and wasted water on toilets is amazing when you look at the statistics as to not hundreds but thousands of gallons of water that can be wasted in that process.
Yeah, and to think that, you know, we're down to 1.6 gallon and have designed these toilets, they actually work pretty well for the most part. When they first came out, you just have to flush 2 or 3 times. It's like, well, we're not exactly saving water. But to think that the gallons per flush used to be 3.5 to 5, it's amazing they can get it work with just 1.6 gallons.
Yeah, exactly. It is amazing that you can save so much there. And any kind of leak that you have, you know, on any appliance, anywhere, is just really, really amazing on that situation there. All right, well, let's go to an email right now. We'll go to, let's try Edwin in California.
All right.
I'm making a barn door for our bathroom out of white pine. I'd like to stain and seal the door without the yellowish wood color coming through. Is there a product that can be applied prior to staining and sealing that can keep the natural wood from coming through? Joe, you know, when you, of course, white pine does have a yellowish look to it, but
yep.
if you lightly sand it, and depending on the type of stain that you use, you know, unless it's a very, very light stain, I would think any other stain would pretty much block that out.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, but he might be putting on like something like a golden oak or some relatively
yeah, right,
light
yeah.
color, which is fine. But since it's a pine door, I'd first apply a wood conditioner. And if you're not familiar with a wood conditioner, you can get it wherever they sell stain. It's essentially just a very watery, clear material that you just, a liquid that you brush on, roll on, and it soaks into the wood and it evens out the wood grain is what it does. So that when you do stain it, it'll absorb the stain evenly. Because if not, you're going to get that dark and light blotchy feel to it, especially on softwood like pine. But in any case, applied wood conditioner according to the directions. And then I would use a gel stain. If you're really concerned that the white pine might show through, a gel stain is exactly what it sounds like. It's a thick gel as opposed to a liquid stain. And I agree with Danny, a liquid stain would probably work. But if you're concerned at all, go to a gel stain. They're nice and thick, and they really do a great job of hiding whatever's underneath.
Yeah, that's a great way to go. Let's go right to the hotline right now. Marion is on the phone. Marion, welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show.
Hello. How are you? Danny and Joe, how are you?
Hey, we're doing great. Tell us about your challenges. Now, you live in California and you have a house in Mississippi, is that right?
Yeah, recently we bought a house in California, in Mississippi, and my mother and my brother moved over there, and they said that it's a moisture problem, and sometimes they can see it on their walls. And there is like a musty odor that is that doesn't want to, go away.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot get rid of it. We clean the house, but it's still we feel the same odor.
Okay. Do you know if it has central air and heating in it? Does it have a central air and heat system?
It has the, it's an old house, and it has the air is, on the floor.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's where we get the air conditioning or the heat coming from.
Okay.
And I don't know if it is central, so I haven't really asked my brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A couple main things here is, first of all, and do you know if the house is up on piers? Is there crawl space under the house, or is it on a concrete slab?
It's a crawl space under.
Okay. All right. Well, two things need to happen right away is, first of all, in the crawl space, you want to make sure that you have a layer of plastic laying on the ground, just right on the ground, to prevent any of that moisture from migrating up to the house. And the second thing is to call that air conditioning contractor, because the main thing a properly working air conditioning does is to remove the moisture out of the house. And obviously something's not working there. Either the unit is just simply not doing its job, or it's oversized to where it's turning on and turning off too quickly. So those would be the first two things that I would do, because and of course encourage those that are living in the house to use the exhaust fans in the bathroom as well in the kitchen every single time.
Mm-hmm.
like when they're taking a shower, to turn that exhaust fan on and leave it on for at least 10 minutes after the shower. Now this is all assuming that there are exhaust fans in there. If not, that would be another really important thing to do.
Yeah, that would be great. I have to ask about the exhaust fans. Yeah,
it's all about getting that moisture out of the air from the inside, and also preventing any intrusion of moisture coming in around windows and doors or anything like that, to really seal all of those windows and doors and cracks on the outside of the house. So these are some fairly simple things that'll make an immediate difference in that moisture content inside the home.
Mm-hmm. And they were telling me also, Danny, that when they clean in some of the areas of the shower, they found close to the floor, when they cleaned it, it was really moldy. It was dark and very, the smell was very strong there.
Yeah, not unusual at all for that to be the case, because when you have that amount of moisture in a house, there's definitely going to be mold and mildew that grow there, which is really unsettling and not very healthy at all. One more thing, the more the house can be open, the better. On mild days, open all the windows and doors, get some fans blowing. The more fresh air you get in there, the better it's going to kind of mitigate a lot of the mold spores and that type of thing. Very, very important to get as much fresh air in as you can. Marion, I certainly hope that helps, and hope you can kind of dry that house out. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Keep the bugs out and let the fresh air in with Duck Brand's hands-free magnetic screen door. It's a quick, affordable solution for outdoor living spaces. The durable mesh is easily installed and can be attached to the inside or the outside of your existing door frame with no tools needed. It works on single or sliding doors, and the magnetic closures make it easy to walk through when your hands are full. Learn more about Duck Brand's hands-free magnetic screen door at duckbrand.com.
Transform your kitchen or bathroom with a beautiful tiled backsplash all by yourself in as fast as one day with Simple Mat from Custom Building Products. Simple Mat is a unique double-sided adhesive mat designed to bond tile to backsplashes, countertops, and shower walls. No mixing of powder, no mess to clean up, and no waiting for the mortar to harden. Simply set the tile onto the mat, then grout. It's the quickest, easiest, cleanest way to install tile. Visit thesimplemat.com for more information. Available exclusively at the Home Depot.
Is your concrete driveway, sidewalk, or patio looking old and worn? Time and exposure to the elements can cause concrete to flake, discolor, or just look dull. Now you can easily renew your concrete surfaces with Quikrete Recap Concrete Resurfacer at a fraction of the cost of replacing it, and you can do it yourself. Quikrete Recap will give you a durable new finish that will last for years. For more information on Recap, visit Quikrete.com. Quikrete, what America's made of.
Metal roofing is durable, low maintenance, and energy efficient, making it one of the best choices for today's homeowners. They often last 50 plus years and can protect your home from extreme weather. With styles and colors to suit every taste, metal roofing is definitely worth considering. Want to learn more about metal roofing or find a contractor near you? Check out the Metal Roofing Alliance at metalroofing.com. While you're there, be sure to enter the Metal Roofing Rave sweepstakes, and you could win a $100 Home Depot gift card. Visit metalroofing.com today.
In older homes with old electrical wiring, the hazards you don't see may be the most dangerous ones. Loose wiring connections or damaged wires can cause arcing or sparks that may lead to a fire. The solution is an arc fault circuit interrupter, or AFCI. Leviton offers AFCI outlets and circuit breakers that detect hazardous arc faults and interrupt the power, reducing the likelihood of an electrical fire. Learn more at leviton.com/AFCI.
Could your backyard use a makeover? You can create beautiful outdoor living spaces with Rumblestone from Pavestone. Create a paver patio or walkway, garden retaining wall, grill enclosure, fire pit, or even an outdoor kitchen. These rustic building blocks make it easy and they look great. Rumblestone from Pavestone is available at the Home Depot. And be sure to check out the project ideas and how-to videos at pavestone.com. That's pavestone.com.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Deitch Coatings. Easily roll on your new stone countertop, garage floor, and more in just a weekend with Deitch.
Hey, wanted to tell you about a really cool prize you can win from our friends at Quikrete. Now, one lucky winner every month will receive a Quikrete Walkmaker to create their own cobblestone-looking pathway. Now, if you've never heard of the Walkmaker, it's a reusable concrete form made out of durable plastic. Makes it very easy to create a sidewalk, walkway, I mean, even a patio that looks like it's made out of individual pavers. It really will surprise you. And not only is Quikrete giving away the Walkmaker form, but they're also throwing in 25 bags of concrete. That's enough to make a 50-foot path. So The way you enter is simply to go to todayshomeowner.com/giveaway. Now, don't delay. This month's giveaway ends on July 25th. Again, that's todayshomeowner.com/giveaway. Joe, we just did a little Facebook Live called Talk to Today's Homeowner that we do on a regular basis, showing the walkmaker being used in our side patio there at our studio. And it just amazes me again how easy it is to lay the form down, cut the grass out, pour the concrete. Heck, I'm not even 5 minutes later, you're picking the form up and then leapfrogging it right up to the next one. You'd only need one form to do all of that. If you have two forms, it goes a little faster. But I was pretty amazed at how uniform everything is and how simple it is to make a nice-looking cobblestone pathway.
Yeah, and it, not only is it quick, but it's pretty affordable, especially if someone's giving you most of the concrete that you'll need. That really, and plus, I'm assuming they deliver it, which is
which is
really nice deal.
Yeah. And then they get in the truck and leave real quick before you break out the wheelbarrow.
Yeah, they learn that trick from you.
Hey, let's go to South Carolina right now. Randy's on the phone. Randy, welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show.
Hi, Danny and Joe.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Understand you're pondering an idea about a screen porch. Tell us about it. We're looking at the photos right now that you sent.
Oh, okay. I have a deck that we want to take approximately half of it and put it under the screened roof. Okay. And the problem we got is my house is a cross-gabled roof. And how to get that roofing to blend and go out 20 feet from the cross-gabled area, because the roof and the cross-gable are at 90 degrees to each other, and it's about a 10-12 pitch. That's my question.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have seen people make the mistake of putting just a little flat roof in that area, and then you have all of that water going down on it. You have all of that valley water coming down on it, and you miss an opportunity for a really nice porch by putting in a traditional roof that would blend into the architectural lines of your house. Now, that may seem like a lot of overkill to build that much of a roof that will follow those gable lines, but the thing about it, so many times when you're looking at a porch, and I've done this many, many times where We build a screen porch, and people use it so much, they want to go ahead and turn it into a room. Well, if you build the roof right, then you have the hardest part of that next step already taken care of. Then you can do the insulating, and you can do that. I've also built a lot of them utilizing that elevated space there for a vaulted area for a screen porch, which has the advantage that the heat rises and it's actually cooler where you're sitting and so forth. So it might sound like a lot more work than you really want to do, but it is the right way to do it. That way you can keep the same pitch of the roof. You can use the shingles. And if you'll get a draftsman, I don't think you need necessarily an architect, but if you get a draftsman just to draw the lines and draw this out, it's pretty simple. Then that'll give you something that you can show to several remodeling contractors to get prices and just to see what it is. These lumber prices are going down, so hopefully it won't be as expensive as you might anticipate.
All right. That was my fear. You know, I'd have somebody come in and quote it, and I'd get a figure that would jar my teeth. And
But the thing is, Randy, and this is an important question for you to ask those prospective contractors, is this something that you routinely do? Is this something that they've done a lot? And, you know, you'll know right away. But if you call your local home builders association and get a few names of some good, reputable remodeling contractors, I guarantee you they've done this project a lot. And they can probably add a few suggestions along the way that'll make it like a really nice screen porch that can then evolve to a room or sunroom if you decide to do that later.
Okay.
All right, Randy, thank you very much for being part of the show. Let us know if we can help you any other way.
Great. Thank you.
Joe, you know, that is one of the things we've done many, many times is you create this area, the roof, the overhang, the eaves, all of that match the house.
Right.
And then later on, I mean, it's really just a matter of enclosing those walls and taking care of the floor.
Yeah, I think what Randy's going to find is the contractors are probably going to want to go above the ridge, above the eave of the house where it is now, above where the gutters are, and come off the existing roof to extend out so he has plenty of headroom. And that's always the most challenging part of remodeling is like, well, how is the roof line going to work? Because you have these existing roof lines. Now you're introducing new roof lines going out and then back. He has an L shape, so he's trying to fill in that that inside corner. But yeah, with the right contractor and getting that roof frame just right, I think it's going to look like it had always been there.
And it's also important anytime you're building on like that, don't have a closed attic area. Make sure those attics are all incorporated by cutting out sections. Joe, you have a simple solution coming up. Give us a little tease of what we can expect.
I've got a simple solution on how to not break your back moving really heavy objects around the yard.
Oh boy, if you're faced with something like that around the yard, you'll want to hear this one. Nobody wants to break their back. So another great simple solution coming up from my buddy Joe Truini. So you don't want to go anywhere. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio, the number one place for practical, realistic home improvement tips.
Looking to update the look of your fireplace mantle? I've got just what you need at checkinginwithchelsea.com. Just search for fireplace plans for free printable plans. Then watch my how-to video of this simplistic but sophisticated design, and you're on your way to building your own fireplace mantle too. I can't wait to see what you build, so be sure to share your mantles by tagging me on social media. I'm at checkinginwithchelsea. Again, the plans and video are online now at checkinginwithchelsea.com. Brought to you by Woodcraft.
Doing it yourself doesn't have to mean all by yourself. With the Home Depot as your partner, doing's never been easier. You can pick up skills online in a virtual workshop. Pick up what you need fast from easy in-store pickup lockers. Even have it delivered same day. Oh, and if you don't have time to tackle a project, our home services can do it for you. This is doing like never before. This is the Home Depot, how doers get more done.
When you're working with wood, it's important to have the right tool for the job. Whether you need hand tools, power tools, finishing supplies, or just some good advice, the place to go is woodcraft.com. If you prefer hands-on help, stop by one of the 75 Woodcraft retail stores where you'll find classes taught by woodworking experts plus all the latest woodworking tools and supplies. Woodcraft for all your woodworking needs. Visit them in person or at woodcraft.com or call 1-800-535-4486.
Chelsea Lipford Wolf here. If you're a fan of great before and afters, you need to check out my ranch revival. Dad and I are renovating my 1950s ranch-style home inside and out. You'll get the scoop on everything from simple curb appeal updates and painting projects to energy efficiency improvements and rearranging walls. Find out more at todayshomeowner.com/ranch revival. Brought to you by American Standard, Armstrong Ceilings, Geldwin Windows and Doors, Rockwool, and Wetwall, a Wilson Art Company.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Custom Building Products, North America's leader in flooring preparation products and tile and stone installation systems.
Are you currently receiving the Today's Homeowner e-newsletter in your inbox? Well, you certainly can by going to todayshomeowner.com/newsletter and sign up today. We'll send you something every week, the latest, greatest home improvement information that you need to consider, some project suggestions for your house. And also, often in there, we feature one of Joe's simple solutions, but we're going to give you one right now.
All right, Danny, next time you need to move a heavy rock or stone slab or anything like that, try this trick. Get a length of 4-inch diameter Schedule 40 PVC pipe, and it's important it's Schedule 40 because they make a similar-looking pipe, that sewer pipe, that's too thin and would get crushed by the heavy item. But anyway, 4-inch diameter Schedule 40 PVC pipe, cut it into 3 or 4 foot-long sections, and what you do is pry up the stone and slip 2 pipe sections underneath it. One near the middle of the stone, or as close as you can get, and one near the front end of it. And then set a third pipe about 12 inches or so in front of the stone, so out on the lawn or driveway or wherever you happen to be. And now, basically, you might need help, but you basically just push the stone forward, and it'll roll up off of the first two pipes onto the third pipe. And then, of course, what you do is you move it forward, and you take the pipe from the back, and you move it to the front, and you keep going, and you keep moving the pipes. I mean, this is why they built the pyramid, so you could certainly move a rock if you need to. And again, if it's Schedule 40 PVC pipe, it's plenty strong enough to won't crush or crack. And you just continue that until you get the stone wherever you need it to be, and then you just push it off the pipes.
I can tell you that definitely works, and that works in a lot of situations. Boy, I have moved using PVC pipe, even in when you're moving across a smoother surface instead of a lawn, to use like 3/4 inch PVC, not the thin wall plastic pipe, but the PVC, Schedule 40. And boy, I mean, you can move. I've moved pianos. I've moved hot tubs.
I've seen them move sheds in small buildings.
Yeah.
And I've taken the black iron pipe off my pipe clamps. Mm-hmm. On driveway, or actually in my garage on the concrete side, to move heavy equipment. You know, anything that roll like that, you'd be surprised how little, once you get it up on it, it's surprised mm-hmm. how little movement it takes, how much little pressure it takes to get that thing rolling. And if it's going downhill, you know, you got to be a little careful because you can lose control of it pretty quickly. But as long as you keep moving those rollers, whatever they are, pipes or whether it's PVC pipe or metal pipe in the front, it'll always have something to roll on.
And that's a good example of, you know, working smart instead of hard, because, you know, you might say, hey, let me grab, you know, two or three of my buddies and we'll just lift that rock up, put it in a wheelbarrow, and we're done. But a lot of things are a lot more dense and a lot heavier than you would imagine. Plus, it's never a healthy situation to lean over without using your legs to lift something like that. So right. There's a lot of situations, whether you're relocating the family doghouse to one side or the other, or whatever you might be moving, and some of the heavier things that we have around the home, definitely just stop for a second and think about it, because you could even use like a 4x4 post to use as leverage, and then just put something under it, a brick or whatever, to use as a fulcrum, and just to lift that edge up real slow and easy, put the pipes under it and move it along. There's a lot of easy ways of doing things so that you'll feel good about doing some other projects instead of stoved up in bed with Ben Gay all over you, you know.
Ben Gay, they still make Ben Gay? I guess they do.
Hey, this pretty much wraps up the first hour of today's Homeowner Radio. So glad you were able to spend it with us. If you're listening to a station that doesn't carry the second hour, head over to todayshomeowner.com/radio so that you don't miss a thing in our second hour. We really appreciate you being with Joe and myself this past hour, and hope you'll be able to join us next hour here on today's Homeowner Radio.
Hey, we want to hear from you at Today's Homeowner Radio. Call the Today's Homeowner Hotline anytime, 800-946-4420, or send us an email at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Again, thanks for listening to this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio.